You have your Bibles. I invite you to be turning to the book of Job and the 39th chapter. That'll be one of the first passages that we look to draw a lesson from this evening. While you're turning in your Bibles to the book of Job and the 39th chapter, just let me express my appreciation for your presence and express my gratitude of just being able to be here. So many good thoughts are presented in the worship service even before the preacher stands up. I love singing about our Lord and how He is Lord and how He is King of Kings, and reminding us of this song of redemption and how we need to be carrying that message to others. I appreciated the prayer and how that we ought to be looking for opportunities to do good in this time of calamity for some. And so good thoughts. And I love just being with you. People of God sharing their faith. We're glad you're here. Some time ago, I saw a picture of an eagle majestically soaring above some high cliffs. And near the cliffs were some eaglets in a nest. And I remember the phrase under the picture. It said, "Why must soaring begin with a fear of falling? Why must soaring begin with a fear of falling?" I love that statement. And I think it's so true. We've all been there, haven't we? Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe it's one of our college kids that's just left for college. Maybe it's an investment. We know exactly what we need to do. And yet there's just a little bit of apprehension about stepping out and doing it. And yet, this is the way that we grow. By getting out of our comfort zone, doing something and learning to master that. And then once we master that, we try something else. To me, that scripture is just about one, like one fellow said, or that saying is just about one, about what one preacher said one time when he said, it's near about scripture. You can't find it listed, but it's near about scripture. And I kind of suspect that if you read the book of Ecclesiastes closely, you would find something very similar to the lesson that that passage or that saying states. Whatever, I want to talk with you, if I may, for just a moment this evening about the subject, searching for eagles. The Hebrew word for eagle is the word nisher. And it's a word that means to tear with the beak. And the Greek word ados means about the same thing or refers to the same birds. And yet, in truthfulness, it doesn't refer to just one bird or one kind of bird. That passage or that word refers to a number of kinds of birds. It's right to refer to the eagle, but that same word is used to refer to vultures. For instance, in the book of Matthew, in the 24th chapter, in verse 28, when Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, He states, "Where the carcasses is, there will the eagles be gathered together." And while the New American or the New King James, and the King James says eagle, it's pretty well determined that a better translation would be that of vultures. The vultures are gathered together. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia pretty much makes that clear when he says one distinction is that always holds good is that eagles never flock. And yet that passage is talking about some gathering together. Now sometimes when you read that word and it's really talking about the eagle, it's talking about the literal eagle. And sometimes when you read that word, the writer is trying to make a comparison and teach us something. And so what I want us to do for a few moments is just to look at some passages where this word eagle is used, or the word that's translated eagle, and in places that it should be translated eagle, and to look at some of the lessons that God has tried to teach us through that word. And if you'll begin in the book of Job and the 39th chapter and verse 27, I would suggest to you that first of all, it is used to try and impress us with the superiority of God over man. In the book of Job, in the 39th chapter and verse 27, the writer says, "Does the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high?" This is the words of the Lord as he talks to Job. And of course, Job has been wanting to talk with God and plead his case before God. And so God now talks with him, and he asked him, he said, "Does that eagle mount up and fly high because of your command?" And of course, the answer is no. And what he's trying to get us to see is that, Job, you're not in control. I'm in control. I have the power. I have the wisdom, not you. And that you just need to learn that I am in control and submit yourself unto my will. Now, maybe we need that lesson all the time. We need to know that God is in control and God is the one that is powerful all the time. But I suggest to you that in times like Job was going through, where there's trials and troubles, that's a time that we especially need to remember that God is in control and that He is the one that commands and demands of things. And that we just need to learn to be submissive to Him. You may remember the lesson last Sunday evening when we talked about resist the devil. And in contrast to that was this statement, submit to God. We all need to come to understand that God is sovereign. And that we have the mind and heart that whatever it is that God says, we're just going to submit unto that. And God uses that eagle to try and remind Job and through him remind all of us that He's the one that commands that eagle to fly high. The second thing I would remind you is and suggest to you is that He uses that eagle to try and remind us of the wonders of this world. If you were to look to the book of Proverbs in the 30th chapter in verse 18 and 19, Proverbs 30 and verse 18 and 19, the writer of Proverbs said, "There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid." He just is telling us there are things that are just wonderful about us that's really just too great for us just to really understand and to grasp all of the beauty or all of the things that are entailed in that figure. It's kind of like the ecclesiastical writer sometimes when he's just trying to get us to stop and enjoy life. We have the phrase, stop and smell the roses. And I've told you before that I grew up, I think, with an attitude of kind of that we just endure life and then we'll have heaven to enjoy when this life is over. And truly, that's a hope that is set forth for us, that we can someday enjoy heaven. But I want to tell you that God wants us to do more, I think, than just enjoy or endure life. That at least some five times in the book of Ecclesiastes, He tells us that it's all right to enjoy life. Now, He makes mention of and reminds us that there's a vanity about this life under the sun. And that the real thing matters is that we fear God and keep His commandments, but that even in that, that's how we enjoy this life, is learning to fear God and keep His commandments. And the writer is trying to tell us in Proverbs, there are things that are just wonderful. And one of those is the eagle as he flies. And so just step back and enjoy life. And be amazed at what God has done for us in life. May I suggest to you that one of the greatest wonders of this world is why God even takes note of us. And you may remember the psalmist in the book of Psalms in the 8th chapter in verse 3 through 6 reminds us of this. He says, "When I consider the heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." He says it's a wonder. This is something we ought to be amazed at. That here's this God that has created this whole universe and everything else. And you think about how great this universe is and how great our world is. And then you think about all of the people in the world. And then think about the fact that God is mindful, not just of all the people, but he's mindful of even me. And the psalmist says, that is a wonder. That's like that eagle as he flies. It's something that's wonderful, even more wonderful than that eagle. But let me suggest to you that we might be careful as we read that psalmist and make sure that we don't think, hey, look at me, I'm something great. The emphasis is on how great God is, and that God has made this world, and he made us. And out of all of his creation, he is interested in us and even invites us to